I'm just, as I said before, I'm exceedingly delighted to have the Literacy Council join us. And by the way, Pat Almada, who is the leader of this group, what's the proper word? She's the second vice president. Okay. So Pat has been in with our Spanish-speaking congregation, in with Pastor Luis, because some of the tutoring takes place in Spanish as well, right? So this is good. Now, I need this clarity. Does that mean that if you know Spanish, you can be tutored to become a fluent? It doesn't mean that. Okay. What's that? Okay. They're directed mostly to English. Okay, gotcha. Wonderful. So, one of the things I'm really happy for is after a couple of years, after years and years, Marilyn and I have been here for 29 years, after so many years of hearing the pitter-patter of little feet, always so well-behaved, well, most of the time well-behaved, up above in the rooms right above me, all of a sudden we're going to have a number of people coming in, and there'll be traffic during the week of children as well as adults. This is, in light of this group coming, and also in light of the fact that yesterday we were able to hear at our Celebration of the Nations, we were able to hear from some others that were part of that, that have been displaced with the selling of some of the facility for First Christian. We heard some children perform from the Academy of Music for the Blind. And wow, they were absolutely amazing. And you know, this gives Calvary the opportunity for this nice facility that is a good-sized facility to be once again used to serve inside of our community. And there are many, many ways for us to honor God in service to Him. This morning I want to talk about the joy that is set before us. The joy that is set before us as we serve the Lord and the people around us. Would you turn with me, please, in your Bibles? We've got I'd like to highlight today some things, and much, much could be said. I'd like you to turn your Bibles to the very first book of the Bible, to the book of Genesis, chapter 12. The very first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 12. And I'm going to read from the New International Version, and that's the version that you see there. This is the call of Abram. This is before God changed Abram's name to Abraham. You know, we do know this. These words are spoken about Abram / Abraham. That Abraham believed God, and God counted that to his credit as righteousness. He said, that's what I'm looking for. God said to Abraham, get up and go to where I'm directing you. Chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So what word stands out to you in those three verses? Okay, I know Celia passed the test. Just right here. You must be a great tutor. Yeah, that's right. It was repeated. Yeah. So if God repeats something, it's a really important thing to him. You know, it's a really interesting word, this word blessed. You know, how would you define it? How does God define it? What's on God's mind when he says, I will bless you? Now there's, we know that kind of one of the simple ways of defining this word, it's, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, better known as the Beatitudes, are spoken, and they are the Beatitudes, are the blessings, these blessings. And the word there is often translated happy, blessed, happy. When God blesses us, we're happy. I mean, like one of my brother-in-laws said to me, it's better than a stick in the eye, what he's done. Yeah, it's a lot better than a stick in the eye. A blessing is something that will, in the long run, make us happy. I was in a seminar once, and it was a seminar on prayer, and it was actually held over at White Emerson Funeral Home. And a neat Christian young man brought a guy down that I knew of from Oregon. His name is Pastor D. Duke. And D, that day, was used of God to turn my attention to this word, to be blessed. When God blesses me, when he blesses you, what is it that he's doing? He's making us, so I stopped, and he actually, Pastor Duke said, why don't you just write down some things that God is doing to actually bless us? When you pray, and he said, and you are praying for a friend who's in a very difficult place, facing maybe some serious health issues, or when you are praying for a family that has children going through all sorts of transitions, transitioning from childhood to transitioning into those adolescent years, which are to be preparing them to transition into adult years. As I used to teach here to about 20 years of parents who were facing children going through these difficult years. We would talk about these years as years when children needed to go from thinking like children in just kind of black and white terms to begin to think like adults, called by some psychologists as being to develop formal operations, the formal operations of their brain, where they begin to make a connection between the way I treat people and the way they respond. Understanding during those times where I can begin to put a finger on what my objectives are and what their objectives are, so we can kind of come to a meeting of the minds and the direction that our relationship is going to take. I was even myself tested many, many times to have to stop as the person who teaches the class or who taught the class and have to stop and think, what have I been doing in the raising of my children through those formative years, really important formative years? And there were times when we stood nose to nose or looking up, in the case of a couple of them, and looking up and saying, we're actually maybe in the midst of a power struggle, and an understanding in the midst of that power struggle. You know, this one's going this direction, and I'm going this direction. This is this one's objective, and this is my objective. Now, I'm saying all of this because I'm sure that there were people here in this ministry that were praying for me. I know they were. That they were praying that God would bless me and that he would bless my family. And as Pastor Duke said, why don't you make a list of some of the things that are on your mind and are on the you think are on the mind of God when we talk about blessing someone? It was things like God would bless me by stopping me in my tracks. That God would bless me by making me alert. By God would bless me by giving me the strength of soul to put on hold my own personal need to be respected by my children, to be respected above all else, and maybe get me to just put that on hold to focus on this child's need. I hope you see that being blessed is not simply to be happy, but it is to gain strength and knowledge and wisdom and understanding. We've been talking about for the last few weeks about the way Paul prayed for the people in the city of Colossae, a people that he had never met, and to whom he would write a letter that was of absolutely profound proportions, that would address their understanding of who Jesus is, understanding him to be the image of the invisible God, the one who is preeminent above all else. Dan had us singing today about this God of creation, who is, in fact, Jesus, the one who, Paul says in Colossians, holds the universe together by the very word of his power. So Paul prays for this group of people, and this is how he prays, blessing them, as he says, I pray that you will be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in everything you do. When somebody prays that way for me, when you pray that way for your children, whatever ages they are, you are blessing them, praying that God would fill them with the knowledge of his will. They couldn't be more blessed. They could not be more blessed than to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Amen? Is there some way? Well, what about winning the lottery? Baloney. Baloney. They're going to be blessed. Well, what about great health? If I had to choose one or the other, great health or a knowledge of God's will, what would it really be that matters for time and eternity? Seriously, a knowledge of God's will. So here's what Moses writes in the book of Genesis. He says, once again, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. Abram, I'm going to change life for you. And it's not that it's just going to be that you're going to make millions. It's you are going to be acquainted with my will and my ways. And he says that you will be a blessing. You're going to be used. And look at verse 3. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So what's going on in that? Here's the big deal. He's saying to Abram and to all the host of people that would fall in his train, his group of people that would follow, all the way up to us today, you will be a blessing to the nations. To the nations, to the world. How in the world would they be a blessing? Dennis Prager wrote a book. He's a Jew that is a conservative Jew who is very respectful of Christianity, though he himself is not a Christian. He loves and teaches the Hebrew scriptures. He wrote a book about, I think it's entitled, I've got the book, but it's entitled, Why Does the World Hate the Jews? Why, over time, does the world hate the Jews? We're not going to get into the politics of all that. I don't really care about the politics of it, at least for this moment, in this moment of time. Here's what I know. The Jews, Abram's people, were supposed to be a blessing to the world. Sometimes they were good about it. Anytime they turned the attention to the true and living God, anytime they repented of their wayward hearts, and they said, God, forgive me. And there were times when it was just, and it's the human condition. It was up and down, up and down, up and down. But every time, as they trusted God, the town of Jericho, as Israel was about to overtake them, Rahab, the harlot, said, everybody knows. Everybody knows. Your reputation precedes you. That the living God is behind you. And when everybody or anybody got the notion that the living God was behind them, God was actually blessing them with a gigantic dose of reality. And every time God's people knew that they blew it and knew that they sinned and they repented, some of the most awful kings who brought horrible, horrible, vile gods into the very temple of God, into the king's home, when they repented, their repentance even blessed countless people that would hear about it and read about it. And I'm one of them. I'm one. When God said to me, reading through God's word year after year, look what I do. And when God gets our attention, that is a blessing. We were born to serve. We were born to serve God's purpose in this world. Make no mistake about it. Every single person, listen, the people that I know that are here from Calvary, you were born to serve. You were born to bless the people around you. Not by, if you only use the word happy, well, I love the song. I probably thought, Marilyn and I were talking about this yesterday. We should have had the children go out to the song Happy, right? They love doing that. But it's more than just being happy. It is about serving people and helping them and really blessing them with the most important things in life. Now I want you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, if you're using the Bible in the rack in front of you, it's page 1067, John chapter 13. And the point of what I'm about to read is that Those who really get it, those who get it as to why we are here, those who get it, give it away. John chapter 13. This is very, very emotional setting. It's the John 13, 14, 15, and 16. We see Jesus this last night before he's betrayed and taken to trial and given a mock trial and a criminal's execution. He is addressing these people in what will feel for them like the last sane moments they would have with him. And so we pick up with verse 2, John chapter 13. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, taking them in his hands and drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, just drawing his feet back, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Always going overboard, Simon Peter. Jesus answered and said, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord. And rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. And I tell you the truth, that no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Those who get it, give it away. Those who know who the living God is are eager to share that relationship with other people. Those who understand that God, that the Lord Jesus poured himself out of heaven for them, will by all means serve people all around us. All around us. Those who understand will not think for a moment this task, this responsibility to serve is beneath me. Never. Whether it's a dirty task, whether it's a smelly task, whether it's just so beneath you, everyone will understand, I am here to serve the needs of other people. Now, one of the things that I would hope that we would all carry away from this service and from this point in time is, as I said before, we have some really, really choice people in this community who for years have been giving their own time to meet with children and adults, people of all ages, to help them in their reading skills. And I'll tell you, we as Christians, if we want people to read the Word of God, we would want everybody to be a choice, would be able to read God's Word with clarity and understanding. The Smothermans, for years, have been part of Wycliffe Bible Translators. And when they go into a, when Wycliffe Bible Translators goes into a community where the language of the people, the spoken language of the people, has never been codified so that it could be put into print, they were at a loss as to being able to read God's Word. And so Wycliffe Bible Translators would go into that community and just make it, they would bring the language together. Tremendous amount of labor over sometimes decades. And then they would, once they had the language, the Bible and the language of the people, then they would as well, and they had, they were doing this as a tremendous service to the whatever the country of origin was. Not to spirit people away into something, but now they had, this tribal group had a written language that people could use, and it would raise their own understanding of life as well as their understanding of the Bible. And so they taught people to read and taught people to read well. I look at what the Literacy Council is doing here is it's probing me and poking me, and I hope poking all of us to say, what am I doing to serve? If anybody's conclusion here is, well, I guess I'm not doing much to serve, well, I'm sorry. Get the point. Do something. Do something. You know, just, let's see, you can write this down. Just do it. Just do it. Start to serve people and look around for who is it that I can serve and not just my own personal interest. You know, I was telling Marilyn, I woke up at 4:30 this morning. I hoped that she would feel sorry for me, but she didn't really. She knows that this happens from time to time. And I was going to get up at 5:30 anyway, but I laid there thinking, how does that song go? What are the words? And they were being burned into my mind and heart. And it's a song actually by, and write this down. Okay, you got a pen now? I want you to write this down. Casting Crowns is the group. Casting Crowns. And the name of the song is, If We Are the Body. If We Are the Body. Now, the song's been around for a while, but look it up. Look it up online. Listen to it. Listen to it more than once. If we are the body of Christ, are we the body of Christ? Hey, folks. Are we the body of Christ? Are you part of the body of Christ? I'm hearing more from the front row down here. Now, you may think this is a trap. You're right, it is. It is plain and simple a trap. If we are the body, do you know how the song goes? Then why is it that our hands aren't reaching? If we are the body, why aren't our feet going? If we are the body, then why is it that his mouth is not speaking? What's the answer? It might be that we're not reaching out. It might be that we're not making new friends. It might be that we're being catty about people that aren't quite as with it as we are. It might be that we're too snooty because they're not us. If we are the body, then get moving and serve his needs in the lives of real people who need to hear from us, who need an embrace, a physical embrace, an emotional embrace. Somebody who comes along and are we listening with the ears? Jesus would say often, he who has ears to hear him and hears ears to hear the people around us. You see, people who get it, get involved and give it away. The last point in the message this morning is there is great joy in serving, tremendous joy in serving. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, verses 26. Matthew 20, 20. I think maybe some of the people that would have responded to my questions very vocally would be the women that are up at the retreat, but we've got about 9 ladies up at the retreat this year, and it's in it's in Murrieta Hot Springs. Great place to go, you know, when it's 106 degrees out. Matthew chapter 26. I'd like to read, I'll read from verses 20 through 28. Great, man, this is a really pointed text. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons. Now they're the disciples of Jesus. This is James and John. This is mommy. It's coming to Jesus with a request for her sons. Don't you just hate it when parents go to bat for their kids on sports teams? Well, hey, this was the early version. They weren't playing soccer, but what do you want? Jesus asked, and she said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink?" He said to these, her boys. "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard that this was going on, the other 10, how do you think they felt? Trying to get one up on us. This is not right. Who does she think she is? And who do they think they are? When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be the first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served." He's the living God. He said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served. That's not why I'm here now, but to serve." And how much is he laying it on the line? To give his life as a ransom for many. Aren't you glad that Jesus poured it out for you? I mean, seriously, poured it out for you. And what does he say we're to do? We're to be like him. We are to be like him. And we're to lay it on the line. Now, I don't want to just leave it right there. In Hebrews, I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12, page 1193. Page 1193, Hebrews chapter 12. After this amazing and long chapter about faith, and what is faith really? Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. It is the thing you can actually see happening, faith is, because it is action-oriented. After this, these heroes of the faith who showed it by the way they lived their lives. We come to chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, all these people who did this, it's not that they're in the stands cheering us. These are just, we're just surrounded by examples of people who have truly believed God. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race that has been marked out for us as servants of the Most High God, I must say. Verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the gaze of our soul fall on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before us, before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Apostle Paul would say in Philippians chapter 2, therefore God has highly exalted him and has given him, because he did that, because he served like that. Man, he's given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, here's reality, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7, I want you to just hear this. 1 Corinthians 12, you can turn to it, or I'll just read just a handful of verses. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I want you to know, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed. And no one who says Jesus is Lord can do that except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good is given. You know, he's talking about gifts. And here's the deal, guys. You have been given gifts. If you're a follower of Christ, if you are a follower of Christ, God has given you gifts. He's given you interest. He's given you abilities. But this word gifts, charismatos, you know the word? You heard the word charismatos? Charismatos, it's like you've heard the word charismatics, right? Charismatics, do you have a gift? I have a gift. And if you're a follower of Christ, you have a gift. You know what the word charismatos, at the very root of that word is the word charis. And the word charis means joy. And there is, in the use of your gift and my gift, there is joy in the use of that gift. It is joy to you when you use it, and it is joy, it means joy to the people around you and me as we use our gift. But you know what? There's one little twist to this. If you use it, that gift, you get joy. If you don't use it, you'll probably become a cranky old dude. I'm serious. If you don't use it, because you're going to keep saying things like, I remember, this is, goes way, takes me way back to my youth pastor days, but I remember somebody walking up from the downstairs in our nice building, and they walked by these big, beautiful plate glass windows, and as they came up the stairs, they had to turn right there, and somebody said, there's a bunch of dead flies on the windowsill. Now, they're already, you know, they've already got my attention here. A bunch of dead flies. And then they really condemned themselves. They said, you know, those have been there for weeks. Well, the very least of what you should have done is brought a broom. Or asked where there's a broom around here and taken care of the issue. But you see, when somebody doesn't use their gift, they become just a crank. Pointing the finger at everybody else who's not serving. Folks, there is not a person in this room who's a follower of Christ who doesn't have a a gift to be used by the Holy Spirit in profound ways. And I hope you are saying in your heart, amen. And God wants to use you. Make sure you look around and find out how you can serve. Don't sit still. Don't sit on your hands. Serve, and you'll experience joy, amazing joy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for countless gifts. And I pray, Lord, that we would use the gifts that you've given us for your glory. Lord, we don't want to sit on our hands. We don't want to become cranky. We don't want to be critical of other people. Help us just activate and use those gifts that you've given us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.